Thank you, Michael. I had planned for my research associate, Mr. Malapali, to give the talk today, but his father fell ill and he's went home to India for a month. Okay. I'd like to acknowledge my co-workers, though. We have Mark Brown, Brent Baugh, Terry Wheeler, Pari Lama, and Ben Mullenix. Now, in terms of remote sensing for in-season nitrogen management, we've been doing this work for about 10 years now. And I know that Dr. Stevens will give a talk from Missouri here a little bit later in the morning to see what they're doing there. We've been doing mostly small plot work on station, and now we've moved to on the farm, and I'll explain what we mean by the calibration ramp. It's a bit of a new concept. Again, the overall objective is to use it as a tool for monitoring in-season status. I'll show you some correlation data where we look at leaf nitrogen, biomass, total N uptake, to see how well the sensor is seeing nitrogen status. And in terms of the approaches we've been using on our small plot is a sufficiency approach where we have really a standard soil test recommendation, soil test based recommendation. We do have a 2-foot soil nitrate test that we recommend, like a lot of the Western United States. It will show that oftentimes gives a little bit rich recommendations, but basically an adequate recommendation, and the area of interest where we put the sensors over, we put that relative to this, the well-fertilized reference, and we get the sufficiency approach. And this is what they've been using in Nebraska for corn with a chlorophyll meter for the last 20 years. And Oklahoma, which is a real leader, especially in corn and wheat with this remote sensing, has come up with a calibration ramp approach. I'll explain that in a minute. The Missouri, I think they're doing a lot of relating the index, the NDVI is a common remote sensing index, to economically optimum end rate. Here is a slide showing some of our data with the NDVI, the ratio during the growing season. These are days of the year. We have a zero end down here, and we have a couple different base treatments. This is what we've been doing in small plot work, a soil test based treatment, and then two reflectance based strategies. The one we've been using for the longest starts out at half of the soil test, and then when the NDVI of the reflectance base falls below soil test, then we bump the nitrogen rate where we're doing fertigation, actually. It's a subsurface drip to the soil test based. And we have a 1.5 lately. We've added a second strategy where we're referencing it to 1.5. In Lubbock, Texas, we don't have as much penalty as they probably do in Mississippi, Wayne, for over-fertilizing. We just tend to keep the residual nitrate in the profile. But to show you some of the results from the last 2 years on this irrigated, in, actually subsurface drip irrigated test, you can see the treatments I described and then the columns here. Here's the amount of N that we've applied. The soil test, based on a 2.5 bale yield goal, of 80 and 60 these 2 years, and these are the yields we're getting. We tend to exceed our yield goals every time. The reflectance base, we're able to save some nitrogen, a modest amount of nitrogen. Gene, you can see that without hurting the yields, about 1,500 pounds here the last year. This is our zero N, that's no nitrogen injected. We're still getting 2 bales. 1.5x is not increasing yields. So we see this potential in small plot for saving nitrogen. We wanted to try to use this on farm, and we adopted the approach that Oklahoma State was using with a calibration ramp. Again, historically for remote sensing and chlorophyll meter work, folks have been using one single well-fertilized reference strip. But for cotton, you could hurt your yields, obviously, but also it's just such a big target that with the ramp, what we have here is 10 pound, I won't use the pointer, The second point, there are 10-pound steps from 0 to 160 pounds of N. And so we're really ramping it up step by step. And hopefully there will be an optimum in there, an optimum N rate that can be identified, which you wouldn't get this information with one single a rate of, say, 160. Also, the ramp can serve as a visual check, and Brian Arnell from Oklahoma State would tell you this, that there is an extension tool, if you will, and Randy's there, of what the farmers, how his practice is doing. There is the big question of if the farmer is too rich to begin with, what that ramp is going to do. And so we've had some debate about whether we should put these ramps on an area of the farmer's field where we convince him not to put nitrogen out, or we just superimpose his practice. And if you think about it, there's difficulties with both those approaches. But this year we had one farmer, half our plots weren't fertilized and the other were. This is, if you can see that on the left, from 0 to 160 pounds, we have 20-foot steps. And this is a liquid applicator, just about planting. We wait till the plants are up. You can see this is a center pivot with some residue conservation tillage, flat stale beds. And we're just getting started where the flag is, right there. This is GPS reference. Coulter will straighten out as soon as you start driving. We use UAN. So we actually have two replicates, so two of the ramp. We start high. I'll try not to advance the slide using this pointer. 160 to zero, you can see 2-0 plots, and then we go from back from low to high. So it's really two replicates on each farm. How good does the commercial applicator do? This is the equipment we're using is basically PTO pump, flow meter, a Dickey John controller, SiteMate software, and we basically have an as-applied map. And so we're interested in how good a job we're doing in putting this out, and we think it's working pretty good. We have the as applied versus the target. For all the ramps we did last year, and now the steps have become 352. Sure, there's a few outliers here by my pointer, but overall we're looking at a 90% R squared, 95% of the rate there, and the intercept 94, and the intercept within a pound there. Here's some of the details of our ramps. Couple different producers, a lot of FiberMax varieties. We have center pivot, furrow, and drip. What did the farmer do for his practice? Well, let me back up a minute. We are always very interested in the soil nitrate. We do sample to 36, sometimes 48 inches. We can get that deep, but we feel that 80% of what the crop will use in this deficit irrigated system is your 24-inch soil test nitrate. You can see it varies a pretty good chunk in there from 30 to 92 pounds per acre in the top 2 foot. So we want to credit that. The producer one, Mr. Jones and his son, they didn't apply any nitrogen in the whole season. The other producer probably applied too much. It's quite a difference there in those two. Here's the two sensors. This is awful early, but we're just getting out there anyway. We're using the Green Seeker and the Crop Circle, and we are GPS referencing it and logging it on a PDA. Okay. This slide shows our first sensing date at early square. Almost early, almost first bloom. It's about 5 squares out there on 23rd July, and we have the NDVI versus the nitrogen rate. This is all of our ramps are the green triangles here. And you can see it looks pretty flat. There was only two ramps that we, ramps 3 and 4, that we had a significant N rate response. With NDVI, the R squared is low at 22 hundredths. And those are the two of the ramps of the farmer that did not fertilize. Later on in the season, at mid-bloom, August 7th, it's a similar picture. The whole NDVI has gone up as the plant biomass has grown quite a bit. Now the average NDVI is about 0.6, 0.7. Similar result, though. Our R-squared has bumped up a bit to 0.44, but there's only two ramps that are showing an end rate response. Lots of times with this work, the folks will take a relative NDVI, and that's what the yellow is, where one is the highest, but it didn't really make a lot of difference with the data with those two ramps. What about leaf nitrogen when, at these two times, the early bloom and the mid-bloom, we're sampling the plants. Ramps 3 and 4, the only ramps that had a relation with leaf nitrogen, R squared is 0.2. Not very strong, but it's there. The farmer's field, you know, is the real world. A lot of us in fertility, most of us do our lion's share of our work on small plots. Small plots, 4 to 6 reps, and you do it for several years, you can get good relationships with your yield and your end response. But on the farmer's field, it's just you got the natural variability and the large scale there that we're dealing with, and it's going to be more difficult to see the relationships. We did yield map this data. This is the unfertilized one of the. This is like ramp 3, I believe, and the water is probably underwatered. I think some of his wells were down for a while. He started irrigating a little bit late, and that looks like awful small cotton. But I show you the yields, you'll be surprised. Here's a yield map where we've separated it by those steps for that very far. This is seed cotton. Show you the turnout in a minute, but sure enough, we can see a relationship. It's very hard to use that pointer, so I'll just skip it. You can see a relationship. The zero rates are in the middle, and more or less on the ends, you're getting the trend of the yellow brown to the dark brown. So there was an effect. Of course, it's not perfect. Now, if we just look at lint yield versus end rate. Again, it's just those two ramps. Ramp 3, we had R squared of 57 hundredths, and ramp 4 was 23 hundredths. And you can do relative, put them on the same line. Now, this was a real happy surprise of our study. I'm going to show you the crop circle data, then the green seeker. We across all ramps, we were able to get a good relation with yield. And I know this is almost like the foundation of the Oklahoma State approach. If you can get that good relationship with yield, Randy, isn't that right? That's a backbone of the Oklahoma State algorithm. So here we have by the crop circle in July and August, the R squared is 61 in July, and it bumps up to about 66 in August. That's just all the ramps. The green seeker is also a strong relationship, 60% in August, 56 in July. We were surprised by that, especially considering that we did not see the end rate response except for on two of the ramps. And if we looked at lint yield versus end rate on all ramps, again, there's no relationship there. It's pretty flat. In summary, we put out 11 calibration ramps in Farmers Field in Lubbock County. We did a good job. Our fertilizer rig was able to put out 80% R squared what we wanted to put out. Second point, significant relationships between NDVI, leaf end, and NDVI, and NDVI and lint yield were only observed on, that last point's not correct, on two unfertilized ramps. The NDVI and lint yield we saw on the whole shooting match. Across ramps, we did get good regressions between July NDVI and August NDVI of 60 to 66%. So we're gonna repeat this study next year, and the ramps are GPS reference, so we're gonna go in and do the same areas, the same exact ramps. And so this is funded by Cotton Incorporated, core funding, Dr. Barnes in particular, the one who handles precision ag and engineering. And we think that this is very a valuable exercise. We know that the farmer's not often getting an N-rate response, and the one producer, based on our similar experience on the same soil type, it doesn't need to put out 200 pounds of N to get the three bale cotton. It seems to be too rich. The other producer was not putting enough water and probably not enough nitrogen as well. But I don't think he's going to try to go too many years without fertilizer. The prices were really high, and he took that gamble. But he got pretty good yields. He got about two bale yields on that picture that I showed you. And so, in short, it's not easy to do this remote sensing in cotton. Most of the work has been in corn and in wheat. And even there, they're still trying to refine these algorithms. With cotton, it's so much more, as Wayne mentioned, everybody's familiar with cotton being perennial and being less sensitive to nitrogen, that in a lot of our work, if we do see the difference between an N-rate response in a plot study, especially it would be mostly between your N-fertilized and your zero, we often do not see significant differences among N-fertilized treatments. And that's why our strategy so far has been to try to show savings with the nitrogen. If you can reduce the N input and not hurt your yield, that's what we seem to have shown some success. But it always surprises us, and I dare say your Mississippi data, Wayne, is kind of like that too. You tend to be surprised by how far down the N rate curve that you're still getting a good yield and that it plateaus out. So there's clearly room to save nitrogen in your cotton production and not hurt yields. It's important, but it's not driving things as much as water, I would say. Anyway, I wanted to leave time for some questions. We've got a couple minutes for questions about this study. Gene, yeah. Well, that's the good question. It is inconvenient to put out an enriched strip or a ramp. It's extra work, and even that, those of us that do this work are often asked the question, you know, where are you going to put that ramp? You know, you're going to put it on the left side, the middle, the right side of a field. Is it going to represent the whole field? And so that's just one of the continual challenges we have, and there's no really answer, no real easy answer. But you know, going back to the point of whether we should just do the ramp if on top of, or if a consultant maybe want to put out a ramp or do the one that's going to do the sensing, the problem is whether he's so enriched to begin with and you're just going to superimpose that ramp or the well-fertilized strip on top of his practice, then you don't see anything. And that's what we saw in one of the producer's fields. But if you do it on the unfertilized, if you convince him not to to fertilize and you do that ramp, then that's has more advantages than disadvantages, but it's very hard to get a producer to do that either. Some of the researchers, I know Dr. Shepherds is recently retired in Nebraska working with corn, has tried to look at just to identify naturally what the inherent high end fertility ends of the field are, and then to use that as a reference. So there may be some potential for that. But if you have N deficiency, then that would obviously curtail that. Yes, sir. That's what we're going to do, sir, on the second year of the study with our GPS reference strips. But again, that has a big trade-off because that's not, you know, what a producer is doing. What we did this year, just coming in for the first time, is almost more realistic with the producer on top of his existing program. So we're going to have a better chance of seeing N-rate, and it might take 2 or 3 years before a larger number of these ramps start showing a difference. But in terms of what the producer's doing, if he's way rich on his program, if he's over fertilizing, then that will show some valuable information. Okay. Yes, John. Well, these are more of the medium textures. We haven't done this work on the sandy soils. So it's more of the medium to heavy texture soils, John, is what these are on. Thank you very much.
If there are any more questions, please hold it.